This is Washington Watch with Tony Perkins, your daily voice in Washington, D.C. on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. And now, here's your host, Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Good afternoon and welcome to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. So glad you're with us today. Coming up, a special edition of Washington Watch on this Good Friday. As we move into the Resurrection Weekend, I do want to encourage you to be planning now to attend church, but to be prayerful, to be contemplative of what we have as believers. And that is, through the resurrection, we have reconciliation. And it's so important that we, through this, as Paul talks about in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, that we have, as a result of being reconciled through the resurrection, we have the ministry of reconciliation, meaning that we need to share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And today, we're going to have a lecture with Dr. Carol Swain, a good friend of mine, and she's talking about the abduction. It's her book, How Liberalism Steals Our Children's Hearts and Minds. And I think this is so appropriate because the message of the gospel, the love that God has for us and that he reconciled us to him through the death of Jesus Christ on the cross, that message is not getting through to our children because, quite frankly, their hearts and minds are being stolen, and we need to stand firm for the truth. So I'm glad you're with us today. Dr. Carol Swain, professor of both law and political science at Vanderbilt University. This is her most recent book entitled Abduction, How Liberalism Steals Our Children's Hearts and Minds. Here's Dr. Carol Swain.
Good afternoon. I really appreciate everyone that took the time to spend your lunch hour with me, those that are online, as well as the people, you know, that braved whatever traffic or whatever you had to do to get here today. I appreciate that. And before I get into the meat of the discussion, those of you who don't know anything about me, I will give you just a brief little background. I was one of 12 children born and raised in rural poverty in southwestern Virginia. I was a high school dropout. We all dropped out of school after completing the eighth grade. I married at 16, had my first child at 17, got a high school equivalency, and then went on to get 5 college and university degrees. I never sought to become a university professor, but I would say God and life opened up those doors and steered me in that direction. I've been very successful, even though I've not particularly felt, you know, that was where I was called to be. And I've recently announced that I'm taking early retirement from my position at Vanderbilt, not meaning that I step out of the public sphere. I'm just ready and excited for whatever God has next for me to do. So that's a little background. And there's a 6-minute video online that talks about my life. And so it has reenactments. It was put together by Coral Ridge Ministries. I had nothing to do with putting it together. It's very well done. And so it really depicts some of the poverty I came from. And so that's part of my bona fides to criticize and critique, you know, this society that we live in. I might also add that I've had real jobs in my life other than being a university professor, which is a pretty cushy job. I have worked in nursing homes. I've worked in a garment factory. I've worked as a sales clerk. I've sold objects from door to door. And when I was getting my bachelor's degree at Roanoke College, where I graduated magna cum laude, I was working 40 hours a week at the community college library, nights and weekends. And so my story is the American dream story. I believe in America, and I want the best for all of our children. And so with that, you know, out there, I will talk about this book, Abduction, How Liberalism Steals the Hearts and Minds of Our Children. And it's a very different kind of book for me. It's the second of my publications that are geared towards the public. In 2011, I published Be the People, A Call to Reclaim America's Faith and Promise. And that book was a call for the we the people to stand up and be the people that would reclaim America. And the reason I wrote Be the People is that there was so much happening in 2009. And you think at the time, 78% of the American people professed to be Christians. And even today, you know, a high percentage of people proclaim to believe in God, some form of God. But when you looked at what was happening in the world, it was so ungodly. It made me wonder, how could it be in a country where the overwhelming majority of people profess to be Christian, you were getting these kinds of policy outputs? And so I felt that that book needed to be written primarily for Christians and conservatives, because it was clear to me that they did not know the tenets of their faith. And they also, if they were Christians, they didn't understand, you know, the Bible and how God lays it out. And with our system of government, it is we the people. We select the politicians. They make those programs and policies on our behalf. And if we don't like what they're doing, then we have to look at ourselves, because we are ultimately responsible. I think God will hold us accountable. And so that was the Be the People book. And this last election, I believe, was a we the people moment. I think it was the American people asserting themselves against elites. There's too much elite control, I believe, in America, and that they're responsible for these policy outputs that we see that are destructive. And unfortunately, a lot of it is coming from our Ivy League schools. So you're here to hear about abduction. Now, Abduction is a book that I was approached by my co-author, Steve Fazell. Steve is a filmmaker, and he's been a pastor. And he, for many years, had just watched how the children of Christians were being just stolen away into secularism. And we both have experienced tales of, you know, parents coming up to situations where they send their kid off to college, and by Thanksgiving, the child is rejecting, you know, the Judeo-Christian values. And that's happening. And we also see it even with private, with middle schools sometimes. It starts as early as middle school. And so it was really, you know, Steve's idea. And so he approached me some years ago, asked would I co-author. At the time, I was busy, so I said no. And but he came back maybe about 2 years ago, and that was during the time that I was going through a lot of turmoil related to an opinion piece I happened to write about Islam on my campus, and I was on sabbatical. But also, I decided to co-author this book because I felt like since he did come back, that maybe God wanted me to be a part of this project, and I certainly had seen everything he was talking about. And so we put our heads together, and we wrote this book, Abduction, How Liberalism Steals the Hearts and Mind, Our Children's Hearts and Minds. And the way, what we do in the book, we talk about the aggressive secular agenda to indoctrinate children with a worldview that rejects the traditional morality associated with the Judeo-Christian worldview. And this new morality that we see pushed, you know, just across America, it's not just the schools, but we see it with the media, there are no absolute rights or wrongs. And you can see it with just how, I mean, I don't want to be accused of picking on Islam, but when it comes to things like, you know, the genital mutilation or the treatment of women, you see the feminists and all of these people are silent, and you wonder, why are they silent? How could they not be speaking out? Well, because of this relativism, what's right for you is right for, you know, for your right is not the same as my right, and all of this stuff like that, that there are no absolute rights and wrongs. We know with the traditional morality that's rooted in our Judeo-Christian values and principles, there are rights and wrongs, and sometimes, you know, we have to inconvenience ourselves. It's not about us and, you know, what makes us comfortable. We really have to put other people ahead of us. And so part of what we're doing in the book is trying to counter, you know, this dangerous philosophy that I believe and Steve believes, and I'm sure many of you all, that it's that it is partially responsible for the chaos we see taking place on university campuses these days, and just for the total rejection of the rule of law, and no respect for authority, no respect whatsoever. That is something that's certainly not rooted in any type of traditional morality. And we're not just talking about Christians and Jews, but in just about every culture, there's respect for the wisdom of the elders. And you see I have this gray hair that I'm not covering up. That's to show that I have wisdom. And you would think that I'd be able to get away with more because I'm, you know, having this gray hair. You'd also think I'd be able to get away with more because I'm African American and I came from poverty. But no, that's not the way this new morality operates. Because I am conservative, I get no points for being black. I get no points for being a woman. And it's just a total, it rejects everything that's traditional. I get treated like an old white man. And in today's culture, that's not a position that you'd want to have, but I would say that that's how I've been treated. What is scary about this culture that we're in that targets our children is that it uses the institutions that we once trusted. We trusted certain institutions like our public and private schools to inculcate certain values. We find that public and private schools, the colleges and universities, and you know, most of the earliest ones were founded by people that were Christians. You know, these were the earliest institutions. Many of them were led by pastors, but we find that colleges and universities, public, private schools, the entertainment industry, hopeless, and once trusted organizations like the Boy Scouts, the Girl Scouts, our churches, we find many of them pushing towards this liberal agenda. And with many of the liberal churches, they have become, I would say, agents of Marxism, that they are pushing social justice. They're not pushing a biblical worldview. In fact, many of them are just totally rejected, you know, the biblical stories that we believe on faith that has to do with the virgin birth and just the core parts of Christianity. A lot of that is totally rejected by certain churches, and they're pushing this new morality, and they're doing it, you know, under the umbrella of the church or under the umbrella of organizations, and they hijacked the civil rights movement a long time ago, but using the civil rights movement to justify behaviors that are just totally counter to our Judeo-Christian roots. And anyone that would argue that America does not have Judeo-Christian roots, I mean, that would be someone that would be totally uninformed.
You've been listening to a special edition of Washington Watch. We're glad you're with us. Our featured lecture speaker today is Dr. Carol Swain, who recently spoke at the Family Research Council about her newest book, Abduction, How Liberalism Steals Our Children's Hearts and Minds. In her discussion, she addresses the left's monopolization of academia and how this has negatively impacted students. Stay with us. We'll hear more from this lecture from Dr. Swain on the other side of this break. Don't go away. Hello, this is Tony Perkins, President of the Family Research Council, inviting you to join me, my wife, Luana, along with General Jerry Boykin and other special guests on our first ever Free to Believe Alaska cruise from July 29th to August the 5th. We'll sail from Seattle on Holland America's luxurious MS Yuridam, known for impeccable five-star service and incomparable cuisine. Some of the most breathtaking beauty in God's creation will surround you as you rest, relax, and worship. You'll witness stunning wildlife and the majestic scenery of Glacier Bay and relive Gold Rush history and classic frontier towns. And you'll hear the latest updates from Washington on the new administration and Congress. Come fellowship with other like-minded believers and journey with us on a vacation that will enrich your body, mind, and soul. For more information, call 844-872-5155 or visit TonyPerkins.com. Don't miss out. The number of cabins is limited. Again, that's 844-872-5155 or TonyPerkins.com.
America's primed for change. In Washington, a new administration is in place, and opportunity is the new buzzword in the nation's capital. The question is, what will we do with the moment that's before us? What changes can conservatives make to undo the past 8 years? Join us at the 2017 Values Voter Summit on October 13th through 15th in Washington, D.C., where you'll be informed and mobilized to protect religious liberty, champion life, strengthen national security, and limit the size of government. This action-packed conference is one you won't want to miss. Past speakers at the event include President Donald Trump, Vice President Mike Pence, Senators Ted Cruz and Tim Scott, Speaker Paul Ryan, Michelle Bachmann, Laura Ingraham, Kirk Cameron, Sean Hannity, Phil Robertson, and many more. Mark your calendar for October 13th through 15th and join us in Washington. Register now at the early bird rate of $99. Visit valuesvotersummit.org for more information. That's valuesvotersummit.org.
Are you a student looking for more work experience at a Christian organization in the heart of our nation's capital? If the answer is yes, spend a semester in Washington, D.C. with Family Research Council through our internship program. You will get a chance to experience our nation's capital through our rich history and culture and attend congressional hearings, events, rallies, and lectures all over D.C. Further, you will develop your skills in research and writing about the sanctity of life, marriage and family, religious liberty, and many other policy issues. Family Research Council's internship program includes free housing just a block away from Capitol Hill and the Supreme Court, as well as a paid stipend. You will gain invaluable public policy experience in a professional work environment under the oversight and mentorship of FRC experts and scholars. Learn more about the FRC internship program at frc.org/internships. Again, that's frc.org/internships.
Welcome back to a special edition of Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. So glad you're with us. If you're just joining us, we're listening to Dr. Carol Swain discuss her new book, Abduction: How Liberalism Steals Our Children's Hearts and Minds. Let's go back to where Dr. Carol Swain left off before the break.
And anyone that would argue that America does not have Judeo-Christian roots, I mean, that would be someone that would be totally uninformed. There's no way you can read the early Supreme Court decisions, justice stories, opinions, and the charters of the colonies. Many of them had religious charters, that it was very much about advancing at the time pretty much a Christian worldview. And then, you know, we say Judeo-Christian because Christianity, it was birthed out of Judaism. And so we are, you know, we share the same book, the same principles. And so it is a Judeo-Christian culture. And up until probably 1947, you know, the Supreme Court did not have a lot of issue with that. But we see how quickly the political left has just taken over the organizations, taken over the culture, and shifted, you know, our young people and many of our old people from the biblical worldview towards atheism and secularism. And you wonder, how do they do it? Well, they do it by mocking people that believe in God. They use shaming techniques, and it's acceptable to use shaming techniques if they're being geared towards religious believers, it seems, devout religious believers. And so some adults and young people, if we don't really arm our young children, not just with apologetics training, which I think that every church and every Christian child should get, but they need to know every argument that the secular left will throw at them. They need to know the flaws of those arguments, and that has to be a part of their education. Otherwise, some of them will become mincemeat for the liberal left. This new morality, we argue, is designed to corrupt and sexualize our children. And if you wonder about that, just go into some of the department stores and look at what they're selling, you know, for young kids, even the little ones. It facilitates and grooms them to become objects of adult sexual gratification. And we can see this in court decisions that have weakened the power of parents and strengthened the hand of smut peddlers and those who prey on children. The most recent example, and I will give you a handout on this, is California's child prostitution law, which took effect on January 1st. It's SB 1322. It bars law enforcement from arresting anyone under the age of 18 for soliciting or engaging in prostitution. Now, as the road to hell is paved with good intentions, the good intentions was to protect children from being victims so that they would not have a record if they had engaged in prostitution. But the reality of it makes it harder for the police, you know, to police the situations, because if the child is out there prostituting, you can be sure that the customers are not other children. That's one thing we can be sure of. But no laws are broken. So you can't arrest a child. Under the law, there are certain circumstances where the police can detain a child under certain circumstances. That's just briefly detain them, but they cannot compel them, you know, to testify in court against the pimp or the pedophile or the pornographer that's using the child. And it strengthens the hands of these pimps, prostitutes, and pedophiles while making and creating more child victims. And if you think about law, and people that argue, well, you can't legislate morality, of course you can. And we see it in many different areas. But once you say that prostitution is not illegal when you're under 18, you're going to get more prostitution. And there's something about something that's illegal that I think many of us, you know, we don't want to break the law. There may be some rebels that want to break the law, but there's a deterrent factor in itself in that this is illegal. If I engage in prostitution, I might get caught. This is going to be on my record. And all of this stuff like that, they have removed that stigma. And you think about the child that's being exploited by the pimp or by the pedophile or whomever has them out there working. The day that person becomes 18, they can be arrested for prostitution. And so on its face, it makes no sense at all that you would have a law like this. Yet this is a law that was passed by the state of California. And if you look at some of the Supreme Court decisions that have barred, that have really protected pornographers and have made it more difficult for parents to get certain types of material taken off out of video games or off television or that type of thing, it's all about the adults, gratifying the adults. It's not about the protection of children. And the courts may argue that it's the responsibility of the parent to protect the child, but we see through a series of actions a chipping away of the power of the parents. And in our book, we document a lot of the things that are taking place. In fact, everything in the book is documented, but the book is still easy to read and written for a lay audience. This book has 11 short chapters. And with each chapter, we have examples, and we also have our personal stories that Steve, I don't remember the math, but he's at least 10 years older than I am, maybe more. He's an old white man. But we have examples of things that we have experienced, or people that we have encountered, and people that have actually fought back against this. And so there are many people that have seen this coming. You know, they've seen it coming for a long time, and that they have taken actions. And if you think the culture is bad today, it would be a lot worse if it weren't for, you know, the activists, the people that were able to call it out and to think of ways to resist. Our chapters cover the public schools, the music industry, the influence of television, movies, video games, that are geared towards corrupting the morality of our children in all sorts of ways, to just break down their inhibitions and cause them to question themselves. And, you know, one of the sections that I have in the book that I wrote has to do with parenting the gender-confused child, because I believe that we all are going to have gender-confused children and grandchildren before it's over, because the culture is trying to confuse them.
You're listening to a special edition of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins. Don't go away. We'll hear more from Dr. Carol Swain right on the other side of this break.
America's primed for change. In Washington, a new administration is in place, and opportunity is the new buzzword in the nation's capital. The question is, what will we do with the moment that's before us? What changes can conservatives make to undo the past 8 years? Join us at the 2017 Values Voter Summit on October 13th through 15th in Washington, D.C., where you'll be informed and mobilized to protect religious liberty, champion life, strengthen national security, and limit the size of government. This action-packed conference is one you won't want to miss. Past speakers at the event include President Donald Trump, Vice President Mike Pence, Senators Ted Cruz and Tim Scott, Speaker Paul Ryan, Michelle Bachmann, Laura Ingraham, Kirk Cameron, Sean Hannity, Phil Robertson, and many more. Mark your calendar for October 13th through 15th and join us in Washington. Register now at the early bird rate of $99. Visit valuesvotersummit.org for more information. That's valuesvotersummit.org.
One of the great freedoms that most Americans enjoy is the ability to get involved in political campaigns. But what about pastors? Unfortunately, due to a little-known amendment that was passed in 1954 at President Lyndon Johnson's urging, churches and other nonprofit organizations are prohibited from making statements for or against a candidate for public office if they want to remain tax-exempt. This is just one of the many problems with the Johnson Amendment. Not only does fear of IRS action put a chill on the free speech of pastors, it restrains other nonprofit organizations from participating in the debate of public policy in their area of expertise. In addition, the IRS only rarely enforces the Johnson Amendment, causing widespread confusion about what constitutes lawful political speech and what doesn't. For more information on how to amend the Johnson Amendment, visit frc.org/Johnson Amendment. That's frc.org/Johnson Amendment.
Welcome back to a special edition of Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. We've been hearing from Dr. Carol Swain on her book, Abduction, How Liberalism Steals Our Children's Hearts and Minds. Let's listen to hear more from Dr. Carol Swain.
Because I believe that we all are going to have gender-confused children and grandchildren before it's over, because the culture is trying to confuse them. When you tell people that they are, you know, that they are biological, physical anatomy has nothing to do, you know, with their sex, you know, and that they can be any gender they want to be, that confuses them. And I think about myself when I was young in grade school. I had a best friend. Her name was Patsy Martin. I loved my best friend. I wanted to do everything with my best friend. I was not in love with Patsy Martin that I thought I would marry Patsy Martin. But in today's culture, I think I would have questioned myself whether there was something wrong with me, or maybe I would want to marry Patsy Martin. I think that many of us have had close friends that our first close friend may be someone of the same sex. We didn't have to question. And nowadays, you know, like when I have a lot of friends that are single, I'm divorced, they're divorced or never married, we do things together. You know, people, we have to wonder, well, do people think we're gay? Well, we don't, we decided not to care. So we don't care. But just the fact that we live in a culture where, you know, you can't have close relationships between men and women with women without wondering whether someone is going to think there's more to it, that is not the way the society is supposed to operate, but it's the way it does operate, and it creates confusion. And so in that chapter, the section on gendering, the section on parenting the gender-confused child, one of the first things I say, that if your child, you know, announces, you know, I'm gay, I'm transsexual, whatever, don't freak out. That's the worst thing a parent can do, is freak out. The most important thing to do is listen. It could be something very innocent, something that, you know, a teacher or another peer has said, or maybe the kid has been picked on in school. It could be something quite innocent that could be addressed by talking it through. But it could be, you know, more serious. And in that particular case, you know, there are resources, but in any event, I think it's important for parents to support their children, but not support them to the point that you facilitate and you engage and all of a sudden you rethink your Christianity so that you find a Christianity that says it's acceptable. And I find sometimes that when it's your beloved grandchild or someone that you really love, that Christians that I guess are weakly aligned to the faith, they find a way to rethink themselves into another Christian position. I believe that that's dangerous. And it's dangerous too, because if you really believe what the Bible says and you're a Bible-believing Christian, you know that there are consequences for our choices. And if you believe that there is a heaven, there is a hell, and whether or not, you know, we are talking about heaven or hell, if we make choices that result in weakening our bodies in some sort of way, or poor health, or all of those things, you know, we suffer as a consequence. And so the suffering can just be on earth, but there are actions have consequences. Behavior choices have consequences. With the political correctness movement and the effort to silence everyone, it's very difficult to get information about the consequences of a person, you know, living an LGBT lifestyle, except if you go to their websites. If you go to their websites, you find that they do present information, but that's for people that are already into that lifestyle. They have tried to silence the rest of us so that we can't talk about it. But that is something that I think we need to be concerned about. One of the chapters is on higher learning and lower values. And that's about the university environment and, you know, the sex weeks and just all that madness, the safe spaces, trigger warnings, microaggressions. What is this pronoun? I forget the name of this pronoun confusion stuff where you choose your personal he, z, t. What they call it? Yeah, something like that. But where people put, some of them now put at the end of the email which gender pronoun they want to be called. And Z-E is one of the choices. All of that stuff, you know, to me is not it's not a high day for the university. And what I find with universities now is that they're not teaching critical thinking. They're teaching people what to think. And if you don't think what they want you to think, then there's hell to pay. You know, there's going to be ostracism. And for some students, they want to go to law school, they want to go to medical school, and we need them in those places. They have to hide who they are. I mean, talk about not being who you are. They have to, sometimes to survive, they feel like that they have to hide who they are. There are other students who are not wired that way. They're more wired like me, what you see, what you get. And so, you know, you put yourself out there and you suffer the consequences. Sometimes it works to your advantage. Sometimes it works against you. But our children are having to make hard choices that they should not be confronting in college. And they're not getting a serious education at most institutions. And I question, you know, the parents and grandparents of means. And maybe some of them inherited their money from godly grandparents, and they had these trust funds, and they use that money to send their children to colleges that's going to destroy their faith.
You're listening to a special edition of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins. Thanks for listening today. We're listening to a lecture that was given recently at the Family Research Council at our headquarters here in Washington, D.C. by Dr. Carol Swain. Now, don't go anywhere. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back with more from this lecture on the other side of the break.
It's happening everywhere, and not just in blue states. Radical LGBT activists are forcing potentially dangerous policies on schools, businesses, and other public places, violating the safety and privacy of women and threatening religious freedom. How can churches help protect their community and be a voice for the vulnerable on these issues? What can state legislators do to push back against local ordinances and federal efforts to allow men into girls' showers, restrooms, and locker rooms? What can parents and voters do? In a special one-hour program, FRC President Tony Perkins is joined by Texas Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick, North Carolina Lieutenant Governor Dan Forrest, and others, including experts and victims, to talk about what some states are doing to protect the safety and privacy of women and children and to defend the freedom to believe. Visit frc.org/privacy to view this event and many more.
Hello, this is Tony Perkins, President of the Family Research Council, inviting you to join me, my wife, Luana, along with General Jerry Boykin and other special guests on our first ever Free to Believe Alaska cruise from July 29th to August the 5th. We'll sail from Seattle on Holland America's luxurious MS Yuridam, known for impeccable five-star service and incomparable cuisine. Some of the most breathtaking beauty in God's creation will surround you as you rest, relax, and worship. You'll witness stunning wildlife and the majestic scenery of Glacier Bay and relive Gold Rush history and classic frontier towns. And you'll hear the latest updates from Washington on the new administration and Congress. Come fellowship with other like-minded believers and journey with us on a vacation that will enrich your body, mind, and soul. For more information, call 844-872-5155 or visit TonyPerkins.com. Don't miss out. The number of cabins is limited. Again, that's 844-872-5155 or TonyPerkins.com.
When you think of hot-button issues, what comes to your mind? For most of America's history, religious liberty was fairly uncontroversial. Not anymore. What happened? I'm Travis Weber, director of the Center for Religious Liberty at Family Research Council. Religious liberty is now a heated issue, right alongside topics like abortion and sexual identity. It's often placed in quote marks in news stories, as if there's more going on than really meets the eye. But what does religious liberty really mean, and why is it so controversial? The public discussion of what was once a tame topic is now a point of sharp division. How did we reach this point? A new FRC brochure entitled Religious Liberty, An Introduction to Our Freedom to Believe, simplifies this complex issue in an easy-to-read format. Discover the true meaning of religious liberty, who is affected by it, why it's being infringed, why you should care, and what you can do about it. You will find answers to these common questions at frc.org/religious liberty.
Welcome back. You've been listening to a special edition of Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. The website is TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it is at T Perkins. Now, if you happen to just be running across the dial and you're just joining us, we're actually wrapping up a lecture that was held recently at the Family Research Council with Dr. Carol Swain. She gave this lecture on her book, Abduction, How Liberalism Steals Our Children's Hearts and Minds. Let's go back to Dr. Carol Swain.
And the money, you know, that great-grandpa earned will be used to support values and principles that are totally antithetical to what the parents stood for. But that's where we are. And there's another chapter that's very relevant today. Black robes bring dark days. And it focuses on judicial activism and how judicial activism has thwarted the power of we the people. You think about this election. And I say that that was a we the people moment. Well, you win the presidency, you have a more conservative president that's promised to support, you know, traditional values to a certain extent, modified for modern days. But we have what we have. What we have with the judicial activism is situations where one person, you know, like this judge, was able to impose a nationwide ban on the president's executive order, even though it's not grounded, you know, the reasoning in his judicial argument is not grounded in the Constitution at all, but he's able to impede. And if you look at the judiciary, there's a reason why, you know, it's been called the most dangerous branch. It was judicial decrees that removed the Ten Commandments from public places. You think about it, why would someone feel threatened by the Ten Commandments in a public place? Why? I mean, it doesn't make a lot of sense, especially if you're an atheist. You don't believe it's anything to it anyway. It's just nonsense. So that shouldn't threaten you. The judges have changed the definition of marriage. They've imposed taxes. They've created rights never stated in the Constitution, such as the right to abortion, same-sex marriage, and it's a serious threat to the democratic system, and it's also a threat to our children, because we see in many of these cases that the decisions have a total disregard for the well-being of children. So we do have situations where there are children that have been adopted into families where the parents announce that the child is transgender, And these kids can be pre-adolescents and have permission. Somehow they're able to get permission for doctors to prescribe hormones to prevent them from developing. And in a world that was serious, you know, in a world that used common sense, you know, that would be child abuse. But we allow that to take place. And we look at the liberal left's war on children. It starts while they're in the womb, because they are devalued from the moment of conception. And if they happen to be born, then there's just the laws and the effort to remove the child and to push a state, in many ways, imposed set of values and principles on the child. That devalues the children, because for many of them, it's pushing them into lifestyles where they're going to have these harmful consequences. So parents really need to know what's happening. You may think you know what's happening, but I think most parents really don't. And I want to just read a few things that took place in public schools. Some of these were in public schools that the parents, in most cases, didn't know this was happening. There was a middle school in Minnesota that took middle and high school students on a field trip to a sex novelty shop in 2015. This was our parental permission. The Boston public school system distributed 40,000 donated condoms, wonder who paid for those, to teens. Parents who supported the distribution of condoms complained about the labels that included One Lucky Lady, Hump One, and Tasty One. This was Massachusetts, that city on the hill, you know, the shining city on the hill, 2014. A taxpayer-funded adolescent sexuality conference teaches teens how to use meth to heighten their sexual experiences. Conference organizers distributed a pamphlet offering tips on oral sex and prostate stimulation. This is your public schools. A judge sentenced a female teacher to 30 days in jail for having sex with a male high school student, Pennsylvania. The judge described the teacher as dangling candy and asked, what young man wouldn't jump on that candy? So, there you have it. Your public schools are in action. But, you know, many of these types of things can happen and may be more prevalent in private schools. And, you know, what can you do? Well, there are a lot of things I think that you can do if you can afford to do it and you can pool with other parents. I highly recommend homeschooling and also watching, because some states and some localities are trying to remove the rights of parents to homeschool school and or to make it more difficult. Or sending your child, you know, if you do have, you know, that generational wealth, send them to classical Christian schools, you know, where they're going to learn, you know, the Greek, the Latin, as well as the history, Western civilization, all of this stuff. Send them to a classical Christian school. And when it comes to colleges and universities, you know, there are some that are committed, you know, to traditional, you know, Western culture. They may not be Christian, but they are universities where they still pursue education as a marketplace of ideas, that they're not trying to indoctrinate the students. And I think that's the only responsible thing that you can do, you know, with your great grandpappy's money or money that you may have earned. If you are conservative and you want to help your children by sending them to college, then you need to exercise some authority about where your money is spent. Other things that we talk about and it's important is that people need to educate themselves about the Marxist roots of everything that's taken place. And when President Obama was elected and people talked about Marxism and communism, they got mocked a lot. They were conspiracy theorists. But if you read the works of Cleon Skousen, he wrote a book in the late 1950s, 1958, called The Naked Communists. And in the back of his book, he had a list of what he then called current communist goals. There were 45 goals. Those were read into the congressional record in 1963 by a congressman from Florida. And I talk about some of those goals, Because if you see what's taking place in our society, even the unrest, the resistance to the president, it's just like a playbook out of this Marxist agenda. And then most people just don't know what's taking place. But of those goals that Cleon Skousen, who was a Mormon scholar and he had been an FBI agent, had in his book, one was to capture one or both of the political parties in the United States. I would argue they have one and they're working on the other. Use technical decisions of the courts to weaken basic American institutions by claiming their activities violate civil rights. Get control of the schools, use them as transmission belts for socialism and current communist propaganda. Soften the curriculum, get control of teachers' associations, put the party line in textbooks. Gain control of all student newspapers, use student riots to foment public protests against programs or organizations which are under attack. Infiltrate the press. Gain control of key positions in radio, TV, and motion pictures. Discredit the American culture. Control art critics and directions of art museums. Eliminate all laws governing obscenity by calling them censorship and a violation of free speech and free press. Break down cultural standards of morality by promoting pornography and obscenity in books, magazines, motion pictures, radio, and TV. Present homosexuality, degeneracy, and promiscuity as normal, natural, and healthy. Infiltrate the churches and replace revealed religion with social religion. Discredit the Bible and emphasize the need for intellectual maturity, which does not need a religious crutch. Eliminate prayer or any phase of religious expression in the schools, and it goes on and on. You get the picture that what we see today didn't just happen by itself. And the more information that you have, the better able you are to counter what's taking place. And so getting information, educating yourself. We advocate also that you get your information from conservative alternative media as well as the mainstream media. And the way the reason I say both is you have to know what the political left is doing and how they're doing it. And so it's really important, you know, to read the New York Times, the Washington Post, and other mainstream magazine newspapers. But at the same time, you know, you need to be looking at Breitbart and Drudge. The Drudge headline, they report a lot of news that you're not going to see in the mainstream news. And when you look at the liberal left, a lot of their blogs, a lot of conservative blogs, National Review, you know, is a good source when they're not, you know, injecting themselves in politics the way they did in the last election. But there are some writers with the National Review and just so many alternative sources of news that we can go to now as part of a way to educate ourselves. In the book, we show that ordinary people can do extraordinary things. And some of the people that we use as examples, there's a lady named Lisa Abler from Kentucky. She's a mom who started Vacation Liberty School. And you may be familiar with Vacation Bible School, was based on the same principles, but it's to teach children about the Constitution and about liberty and freedom. And think about the founders of Trail Life USA and American Heritage Girls. Those were created as alternatives to the Boy Scouts and the Girl Scouts, who pretty much have been taken over. Other ways that, we, the people, can protect our children and become more involved, listening to our children, you know, being involved to the extent possible in the schools, even if you don't have children, we all have a stake. And when I think about our children, this book is written primarily for Christian parents, but it's really written for all parents because there are people that are not Christians and they're not Jews. They're not on board with what's happening in our schools. We need allies. And sometimes our allies will be people that are classical liberals. You know, they may be atheists, but they believe in, you know, the Constitution. They believe in Judeo-Christian American values, and they show it in their lifestyles. And so I think it's important for us to have allies like that and to respect, you know, those people that have made different choices than the ones that we have made, because we are at war. And I think that in a wartime situation, you have to have strategies. And one of the strategies that I advocate is for people, you know, if you want to be an activist, then you read the literature of the political left. You read Saul Alinsky's Rules for Radicals. Reread George Orwell's 1984. Reread the Communist Manifesto, but read it through new eyes, trying to figure out, okay, this is what they're doing, and thinking of ways to counter it. Some of the obvious ways, you know, that we advocate for people is to use that social media. That has empowered a lot of people. Use the social media, obviously run for office, volunteer, give to campaigns. This past election, I was able to volunteer through the something called the Mighty American Strike Force that was founded by Rick Potter in Texas. And it uses all this military, you know, language, but they actually put boots on the ground. You know, people, volunteers in the battleground states where we knocked on doors and we focused on those states. And so I was in Pennsylvania. That was not a state that was supposed to go red, but we know that it did. But, I mean, this was an ordinary person that came up with an idea. And what he started in Texas with George W. Bush now is going, you know, nationwide. There are many of us that have creative ideas. And I don't believe God has given up on America. We should not give up on America. But it's going to take everything that we have. It's going to take the prayer. It's going to take the fasting. It's going to take the activism. Just everything that you have and just the creative action to change this culture. But the most important resource is our children. And they are going to be the ones that will be our leaders. Do you want the political left indoctrinating them? Or do you want your values and principles in them deeply enough that they will be able to stand and fight? I think most of us want our children to be able to stand and fight for this nation. And to do that, we have to change what we've been doing. We have to awaken to our times. Thank you. And I take questions.
You have been listening to Washington Watch, a special edition, I should say, of Washington Watch with Dr. Carol Swain. And guess what? We're out of time. But I do want to encourage you again, as I started this program, be focused on what this weekend means. The resurrection of Jesus Christ, which reconciles us to God and gives us the ministry, as Paul says, of reconciliation, meaning we need to go out and tell others about the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And again, if you are in the Baton Rouge area, I invite you to come and join us as I'll be preaching this Sunday at Greenwell Springs Baptist Church just outside of Baton Rouge. Find out more, you can go to the website, tonyperkins.com. And I leave you with this from the Apostle Paul, found in Ephesians 6, where he says, when you've done everything you can do, when you've prayed, when you've prepared, and when you have taken your stand, by all means, keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is a production of the Family Research Council in Washington, D.C. For more information on anything you heard today, or if you'd like to find out how you can support the ongoing efforts of the Family Research Council, visit tonyperkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our new watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.